I would like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, and we'll begin reading in just a moment with verse 1. I announce to you that I am going to speak on expressions of love, and I'm going to begin with this message. I don't know how long I'll be in this chapter, because I want to cover every expression of love that's given to us in this particular chapter. Some people would say just saying, I love you, is enough. But that is not enough. God spells it out for us, and we need to pay closer attention to what he says. My dear friend, Dr. Clyde Box, who is now in heaven, told a story here years ago about a man who finally got the nerve to ask a lady to go out with him on a meal. And they were up in years, so finally he decided he'd ask her, and he did. When they got through with their meal and he took her home, she stood at the door and he put a kiss on her forehead and said, I love you. And she said, lower. And he said, I love you. Now, I'm not good at jokes, but you should get that. And there are some men who believe that's all there is to it. All there is to it. But there's much more than that. I want you to follow along, if you would, please, to what God's Word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we begin with verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. What God gives us in this particular chapter, I consider to be the expressions of love. And I want you to mark each of them because I'm going to deal with each of them in a series of messages and try my best with God's help to explain a little about each. So I want you to mark them in your Bible, if you would, as we begin with the fourth verse, and God tells us charity, 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 which means love. It's a word meaning love. And love is what we find here, and love is expressed in these ways. May I say, love, number one, suffereth long. Number two, is kind. Number three, envieth not. Number four, vaunteth not itself. Number 5, is not puffed up. Number 6, doth not behave itself unseemly. Number 7, seeketh not her own. Number 8, is not easily provoked. Number 9, thinketh no evil. Number 10, rejoiceth not in iniquity. Number 11, rejoiceth in truth. Number 12, beareth all things. Number 13, believeth all things. Number 14, hopeth all things. And number 15, endureth all things. God says to us, these are the expressions of love. Love is not known until it's expressed. And you may say, I love you 1,000 times. But if you really prove your love, these 15 things will be a part of expressing that love. You may say, I love my wife, I love my family, I love my Lord, I love the ministry, I love the brethren. Whatever you say you love, whoever it may be, God says the way to express that love is here for us. It's suffering long. It's kind. It envieth not. It vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. It is not behaving itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own. It is not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil. It rejoiceth not in iniquity. It rejoiceth in the truth. It beareth all things. It believeth all things. It hopeth all things. It endureth all things. And then God says, charity never faileth. No wonder he says that. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. In other words, love is more valuable than spiritual gifts. He goes on to say, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. And I'd like you to mark the word spake, the word understood, and the word thought. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. In other words, when I matured, my expressions in thought were different. The way I understood was different. The way I thought was different. And then he says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Notice verse 12. But now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Death does not destroy who I am. And death will not destroy who you are. There's so much for us to learn about the eternal life that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a present possession. The same eternal life we have now is the eternal life we'll have when we're in heaven. We learn that the only real life there is eternal life. And this eternal life is something we're taking with us forever. And God says this eternal life that we take with us forever will have our identity in it. Even when we die, we shall keep the same identity. Again, the Word of God says, notice please, for now, verse 12, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. There's so many people who are Christians who get the idea that when they die and go to heaven, we're all going to be just alike. What about someone who's never given any attention to his or her Christian life? You say, that's a little mysterious, isn't it? Yes. I'm going to try to comment on that in a later message. What kind of person you will be in eternity has everything to do with the kind of person you are in time with the eternal life God gives you. As we mature, the Bible says we speak differently. We understand differently. We think differently. And that maturity we want. So what are these expressions of love? If I want to express my love to my darling wife, God says there are many ways to do it. 15 ways he gives us in this chapter. If you want to express your love to your children, God says there are 15 ways to do it. If you want to express your love to your wife or husband, God gives us these 15 ways to do it. If you want to express your love to your friends, God says there are these 15 ways to express it. You see, these aren't just suggestions or something somebody came up with the best of human thinking. This is the Word of God. And I believe this describes for us what God expects from us in our expressions of love. Now, I just want to give a little background and a foundation because I want to deal with each of these. I'll do more than one of them in each message. I'll take several of them until I get through. And I really prayed and thought about this. I don't know how long it will take me, but I want to deal with them thoroughly as God will allow me to do it. But hold your place here and let's turn back and begin somewhere where God begins in John chapter 3 and verse 16. And I want you to know that the same word translated charity in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the word translated love here in John chapter 3, verse 16. We either found it in one of these places as a noun or as a verb, but same word, same word. Listen to John 3, 16. The Bible expresses to us the love of God. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting love, life." Think about this. God so loved. Well, you think, I can't do that. I just can't love like that. Well, God expects that we love like that, the way he loves us. I want you to hold your place in this gospel record and turn with me, please, to the book of Galatians. In Galatians chapter 5, God tells us there are fruits, a singular fruit of the Spirit. When we're born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. How many of you have been born again? Would you raise your hand, please? Then you have the Holy Spirit in you. The same Holy Spirit that produces fruit is the same Holy Spirit that God tells us in John chapter 15 that withers the wrong things in our lives. The withering work of the Holy Spirit is just as vital in our lives as the fruitful work of the Holy Spirit. But God says here in Galatians, please, chapter 5 and verse 22, "But the fruit," singular, not fruits, we want to say fruits, "but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law." It is one fruit with these nine graces. It's like a cluster of grapes, one cluster, but nine different things on it. But the first thing at the top of the list, God says, that the Holy Spirit produces in our lives, notice please, is love. Now, when you study this subject of love and charity, you're going to find that the same word is used here, the same word given to pen in this letter to the Galatians that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The same word we find in the gospel record in the gospel according to John that I'm going to give you again and again in just a moment. So you say it's impossible for me to do that. I don't have the ingenuity, the strength, the mind, the patience. I don't have the ability, the endurance, whatever it takes. I do not have what it takes to love people that way. And neither do you. So it is a supernatural work that God does in our lives. that requires us to go beyond our human ability. If I'm going to love my wife the way God expects me to love my wife, by the way, let's turn there, please, in the book of Ephesians. Galatians, Ephesians, I memorized this long ago, General Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So Ephesians chapter 5, listen to this. This is challenging to us. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says in verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." He mentions here, love your wives, and then as Christ loved the church. Same word. Same word. It's the love of God. There are other loves mentioned in the Bible. There's a love of friends. There's erotic love. But this is a love that can be produced only by the Spirit of God in our lives. So God says to me, you're responsible to love your wife with the same love that God loves you. And by the way, I'm going to turn away from her when I say this. She's responsible to love her husband with the same love that God loves her. She can't do that. Not the sinful creature I am. And I can't do that. The sinful creature that I am. Without supernatural enablement. In other words, it takes more than I've got to do what God says I'm supposed to do. A man called me today. I'll try not to reveal the details. And he said, I want you to say a certain thing and believe a certain thing and behave a certain way toward a certain person. And I said to the man, I'm going to have to ask God to help me with that. Because this particular person has done me great harm. And he's done harm, I think, sometimes deliberately. So if I want to line up everything this person has done and keep all that in mind, and then you ask me to love him, I have to love him in spite of all of that. Now, if I'm thinking about what he's done and how I've responded, I'm sure I haven't been perfect, then I'm going to have more than I have within me to be able to do that. And because that is required of me and required of you, it means that I must lean so heavily upon the Lord, die to self, and get in my life what only God can produce. Now I want to ask you a question. Will that make me a better Christian? Will that make me a better Christian to have to come to that place of dependence upon the Lord? Of course it will. Of course it will. There are times you and I say about situations or people, I just can't do that. I just can't do that. You don't know all the facts. I just can't do that. I don't know all the facts, but God does. And God says that we're to love one another. I am to love my wife with the same love that Christ loves me. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? As a matter of fact, if you turn to the little book of 1 John with me just for a moment. And we're just getting a foundation here. Chapter 4 of 1 John. The Word of God says in verse 7 of chapter 4 and following, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Such powerful, powerful meaning in this verse. Let me just take a part of it. Everyone that loveth is born of God. In other words, everyone that is able to express this kind of love is born of God. You say, I can't suffer long. I can't bear all things. I don't just rejoice in the truth. I rejoice when something bad happens to certain people. Wait a minute. That's not of God. What are the genuine expressions of love? And God says everyone that's loving right is born of God. He goes on to say, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, which means covering, the propitiation or covering for our sins. In other words, he sent his Son to cover our sin, to do away with our sin. It's gone. It's never remembered against us. It's buried as deep as the sea. It's removed as far as the east is from the west. You will never meet your sin again if you've been born again, because Christ met it on Calvary and paid our sin debt. Isn't that marvelous? So God says, you say, I can't do it. Then think of Calvary. Think of the Lord. Think of his love. Not only think of his love, know that his spirit longs to produce that love in your life. Oh, what a Christian I ought to be. So much so that I ought to be like Christ. I ought to be able to express these expressions of love because of what the Holy Spirit has been allowed to do in my life as I've died to self and let Christ live through me. Living the Christ life. That's what God's Word says. Expressions of love. I want you to return with me, please, to the Gospel according to John. And I want to leave these things on your heart that the Lord left on the hearts of his disciples. When we come to the 13th chapter of the Gospel according to John, the Lord says in verse 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you. He didn't say a new suggestion. He didn't say it'd be nice if you do this. He says in John chapter 13 and verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now, if he had spoken this to people who never knew the Holy Spirit, who could not have Christ himself and the person of the Holy Spirit abiding in them and them in Christ, if he had said this to unbelievers, they would have every right to say, that's impossible. You're commanding me to do something that cannot be done. But he said it to those who know him. And he said to them, I'm commanding you to love one another. Not only to love one another, and he uses this same agape or agapo word, meaning the love of God. I'm commanding you to love one another as I've loved you. He, knowing full well that the reserve, the enablement was there in the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, I may want to choose to live in the flesh and match flesh with flesh, get even. They've done me wrong, I'm going to do them wrong. I still remember the outburst of anger, and so I have every right to have my outburst of anger. When I'm not under his control, I am out of control. And by the way, you are too. I'm a passionate person, as you well know, after all these years. I'm a passionate person. And that lack of temperance, allowing God to lead and control my life, has gotten me in a lot of trouble. How many of you know it's gotten you in trouble in your life too? And so he commands me with the same commandment. And then he says something that's quite amazing in verse 35. He says, there's one thing that will characterize your Christian faith. The one thing that gives the identity to your Christian faith. Here it is. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. I'm afraid there are many times I have failed the Lord, and I have failed to have a testimony and a witness like I ought to have, because I have failed to trust the Lord for the love that was commanded me to have for other people. And while we're talking about the subject, how many times have you failed the Lord by not obeying His command? You see, I want to be the pastor of this church that God wants you to be. The most difficult thing for a pastor in pastoral preaching is to live what he preaches. That's difficult. I can't study this, which is the sword of the Word of God. I can't handle this blade without it cutting me. I can't study it and meditate upon it. I can't deal with it without my own blood being shed from the cutting of it. That's what happens. So God is saying to Clarence Sexton, I command you to love others. Love the brethren. I command you to do it. And I say to the Lord, you're asking me to do a difficult thing, especially with some people. But the more difficult it is, the deeper I have to go with God, and the greater Christian I could become because the level of dependence that's required to do it. And in all the doing, I must think of Calvary. I didn't deserve God's love and don't deserve it now. The Lord didn't look down on this earth and see me and say, well, there's somebody that really deserves my love. He chose to love me. That decision in the Godhead was made toward me. And if you're believing Him and trusting Him, God chose to love you. He loves us all with an everlasting love. He loves all humanity. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And He tasted death for every man. Think of His love. And when we think how stressed we are and how pressed we are to love others like we ought to love them, we have to go to the cross and think about how God saw us and loved us. It's amazing. I want you to look at something else with me, please. If you'll just keep turning in this particular gospel record to chapter 15. And the Lord said, not only by this will all men know that you're my disciples. He said in verse 10 of chapter 15, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, what commandment? He said, a new commandment I have given unto you, that you love one another. And then he says, in the same conversation, we have it divided by chapter and verse here, but in the same conversation, at the same setting, at the same time, after he's told them, this is my new commandment to you, he says in verse 10 of chapter 15, which is in the same conversation of what we read in the previous chapter, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And so this is what God says. Greater love in verse 13 hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You wonder how can you do anything like that? Any sacrificial giving? Any stretching of your life beyond what is the norm? How can you do that? My wife and I are commanded. We're both believers. You're commanded if you're a believer. The special command I have from God concerning my wife is to love her as Christ loves the church and gave himself for it. If you go to the 17th chapter of the Gospel according to John, when the Lord comes to the end of his high priestly prayer in the 17th chapter, he says in verse 26, and I have declared unto them thy name, praying to God the Father, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Listen to those words. That the love wherewith thou hast loved me, the love of God, the love of the Father, that's what I'm praying for. That the love of the Heavenly Father, wherein thou hast loved me, may be in them. And the only way it'll be in us, and I in them. Christ in us makes it possible. The fruit of the Holy Spirit produces it. And the expressions of love, if you'll turn quickly back to 1 Corinthians 13, when it's what it ought to be, the expressions of love will be these 15 things from verses 4 through 7 in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I'm praying that God will help me to express love this way. And I'm praying that God will help this church to express love this way. That's what His desire for us is. Let's bow in prayer together, may we?